AccuWeather forecast, cloudy, rainy, and or drizzly today. We'll have a high of about 44. The Kenosha County Arson Task Force contacted early this morning reference a barn fire in the 9300 block of Riverbend Road in the village of Pleasant Prairie. It caused extensive damage. It was around midnight or so when the initial 911 call was made. Early reports from the scene indicate explosions were taking place, perhaps because of vehicles inside as the flames intensified. Not long after the first unit got there, a mutual aid box alarm system response was requested by the incident commander. That resulted in crews and equipment from immediate surrounding fire departments that were being called out, in addition to those in northern Illinois, even into southern Racine County, plus the Racine fire bells were on scene. Property owners in the village of Sturtevant not going to quite see the savings on their taxes as proposed initially by the administrator, but the budget adopted at a special meeting of the village board last night still calls for a mill rate decline of 16.25%. Finance committee did add some money in there, $15,000 for the July 3rd fireworks show, $10,000 each for the recreation programs and for stormwater projects. Did not recommend, though, adding $160,000 in seed money for a proposed library and community center. Michelle Strauss said that she felt the library would be a wonderful cornerstone and a redevelopment on the Highway 11 corridor.
We're trying to have a community environment on Highway 11. We were talking about green space. We were talking about people being walkable. And I really would like to see us work towards this library because I think it would just be perfect in that area.
The board also approving some more funding for a police officer position, that officer to be hired mid-year to make sure the position gets carried over into the following year. The budget vote was 5-2, trustees Jansen and Johnson against. 2 weeks after the big election, folks in the Kenosha County town of Paris had to vote again. An election to recall three incumbents on the Board of Supervisors. When the numbers were tallied last night, nothing had changed. All three retained their seats, and by roughly the same wide margins. Chairman Virgil Gentz defeating Joe Kolnick, 397-256. Supervisor Ron Kazermeld wins over Paul Terry, 397-255. And Supervisor Ken Monson defeated Robert Fleiss, 388-263. Kolnick had pursued the recall in reference to a lawsuit against the town challenging the initial I-94 corridor boundary agreement with the village of Summers, which later was changed to include the city of Kenosha. More Americans seeking unemployment benefits last week, but Scott Carr says economists still believe there's good reason to be optimistic.
The Labor Department says applications for jobless aid jumped last week by 18,000 to a seasonally adjusted 251,000. But that's still a level that shows Americans are still generally enjoying job security. The number had fallen the previous week to the lowest level since 1973, while the less volatile four-week average slid by 2,000. Weekly claims have come in below 300,000 for 90 straight weeks, the longest streak since 1970. The unemployment rate is at 4.9%, close to what economists consider full employment. Scott Carr, Washington.
It now appears a decision from the Milwaukee Bucks about which of three cities, including Racine, has a shot at their new D-League team won't come for a while yet. Team president Peter Fagan telling the Journal Times a decision was likely by Thanksgiving, which of course is tomorrow, and now he's telling the paper he doesn't believe it will happen. Racine is in competition with Sheboygan and Oshkosh, but none have ready-to-go facilities. Racine Mayor John Dickert, he's still talking to potential financial partners for creating an event center at the old Wisconsin natural gas site, tied into private development of a restaurant and another hotel. And remember about cooking that bird tomorrow. Make sure you do it the safe way. USDA says you want to reduce the risk of foodborne illness.
The turkey should reach 165 degrees as measured by a food thermometer in three places. In the thickest part of the breast, the innermost part of the thigh, and the innermost part of the wing.
That is Chris Bernstein, a USDA food safety expert. Racine's Finance and Personnel Committee this week, as it often has in the past, dealt with some legal claims against the city, one that was filed erroneously and the other they flat out rejected. City Attorney Scott Letney reporting an almost $3,300 claim by Joy and Delbert Bailing, the result of what they said was compaction work going on in the 2900 block of Chatham Street. They say it caused the windows and tiles and knickknacks in their home to break, which Scott Letney said involved a contractor, not the city.
It wasn't the city working. It was a private construction crew retained by the city. It was cornerstone paving. We, as we always do in our contract with them, we require them to have insurance and to indemnify the city. So this is not the city's responsibility. We have advised the Bellings that they need to seek reimbursement from Cornerstone Paving.
Another claim against the city involving We Energies, alleging $5,500 in damage to a utility pole from a snowplow blade. Letney showed pictures of the pole and the plow blade, which he said confirmed it was not connected.
The parks driver and the DPW driver that worked in that area both denied doing it, but if you look at the damage to the pole here and the plow blade here, it doesn't line up. I mean, we believe that our plow driver did not do this. So, you know, what the damage was caused by, we can't say, but we believe it wasn't any of our employees that did it. So we recommend denial.
The committee's recommendations to deny both claims, essentially, going on to the Common Council next month. A living wage ordinance now under consideration in the city of Eau Claire, where leaders discussed the issue after the county board had passed a similar ordinance calling for an $11.68 an hour living wage. 10 city council members attending the meeting last night, 6 backing the idea. Opponents worry, though, that higher wages will result in higher costs for city services or staff reductions. The 2016 holiday tour schedule for the Wisconsin Executive Residence near Madison has been announced. Tours are going to give visitors a chance to go view the decorations donated by designers from the businesses all across the state. They'll be on the first floor in the main rooms. This all begins on Saturday, December 3rd, and will continue December the 7th, the 8th, the 10th, the 14th, and the 15th. No cost, though parties of 20 or more ask to make reservations. There is parking available outside the gates of the executive residence, including handicap parking available upon requests. And donations of non-perishable food items will be accepted for the local food banks there, as well as winter clothing items for the Department of Tourism's Big Bundle Up campaign. Wisconsin's Employment Relations Commission says that the unofficial results of a vote by teaching assistants in Racine Unified shows just under half of the more than 400 eligible members cast votes and supported recertification as required under Act 10 to remain an organization. 435 TAs listed as eligible. WERC says 196 voted to recertify with one against it. No official reaction thus far from the head of the teaching assistance group, Gwen Shaw. Meanwhile, more than 68% of the Racine Unified teachers who voted, they were in support of recertification, 18 voting against it. The voting taking place over the past few weeks. Act 10 requires 51% of all eligible employee group members to support recertification. Several amendments to Kenosha's Code of Ethics being proposed by Mayor John Antaramian, including elimination of the city's appointed ethics board. He wants to replace it with an enforcing officer chosen by the city attorney on an as-needed basis. These changes also would include a few adjustments to definitions covered by the ordinance. The ethics board in Kenosha set up about 3 years ago to review complaints that were filed against city officials, also those who serve on various city boards and commissions. The License and Permit Committee and the Public Works Committees both will have it on their agendas next Monday night, recommendations eventually going on to the City Council. The one-time executive director of Next Generation Now in Racine is named by Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley as the county's Department on Aging director. Holly Davis has been the interim director of that department for the past few months, also having worked for the state and before that, various other nonprofits in Racine, Kenosha, and Milwaukee. Davis's Department on Aging appointment subject to county board confirmation. And some top computer scientists are reportedly urging Hillary Clinton to ask for a recount of the votes here in Wisconsin, plus in Michigan and in Pennsylvania. They believe there is evidence to suggest vote totals could have been manipulated, presenting their information, in fact, to Clinton aides last week. They reportedly believe there was a questionable trend of Clinton performing worse in counties that had electronic voting machines instead of paper ballots. The group adds they have found no actual evidence of hacking, but they recommend that that pattern at least be investigated with an independent review. Citing neighbor concerns and the current ordinance on the minimum amount of retail space needed for a liquor license in the city of Racine, the Public Safety and Licensing Committee is recommending against the owner, Quick Market, a small store at 4303 16th Street, from getting one. Alderman Jason Meekma said over a half a dozen neighbors contacted him in opposition. Tysir Mohammed said that the business, well, it's changed in his 7 years of ownership, and in his words, "I feel I can't survive without adding something."
"And why beer? I'm not just considering beer, I'm considering other options. I'm applying for a restaurant license to do a carry out, a few items of like sandwiches or carry outs. But I feel it's a business necessity for me now to be able to survive with this business?
Alderman Sandy Weiner voted with a majority to deny, but she told the applicant he runs a good business. However, the ordinance is in place for a reason.
And I'm usually a hardliner on breaking the rules, so I sometimes surprise myself when I make motions like I did to support your request. And the reason I did is because I know you are a responsible businessman, but we did create that rule that said you would have to have 3,000 square feet. And it was because there were issues at one time, and a lot of those issues have been resolved since that ordinance was created.
The applicant was told to perhaps contact the neighbors surrounding the business about the request. Maybe some of them might change their minds and could support him at the council meeting December 6th when the final decision will be made. In Milwaukee, the Common Council votes to ban the use of smokeless tobacco at all sports facilities and recreational areas in the city, and that includes Miller Park. Those who get caught using chew will be fined up to $250 with a warning on the first offense. Other cities have already enacted such bans, including New York and Boston. And a review of polling data shows Donald Trump won the U.S. presidency with less support from minority voters than any president in the last 40 years. The Reuters review has Trump elected with 28% of the Hispanic vote, 27% of the Asian American vote, and 8% of the African American vote. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave is going to be holding his next listening session at the Mount Pleasant Village Hall November 30th from 4 to 6 p.m. This will be the final listening session for this year, one that was planned for mid-December, having been shifted now to January 11th in the Village of Waterford. With every listening session, anything to do with county government can be brought up for discussion. Some county department heads and county board supervisors have also been known to attend. The Racine Plan Commission is meeting a week from today, and the agenda for that includes a request from Verizon Wireless to install rooftop antennas and related equipment atop the building at the southwest corner of 6th and Main Streets downtown. A conditional use request from Beth Israel Sinai for operating a synagogue and Jewish history museum at 3009 Washington Avenue. That's a vacant business site right now, east of West Boulevard. And a conditional use request to operate a convenience store at 3425 Kinsey Avenue, right across from Frath School. Public hearings scheduled for all three items beginning around 4:30 p.m. again on November 30th. The lighting of the city of Kenosha's Christmas tree will be kicking off an evening of festivities Friday, the annual Lighten Up Kenosha celebration taking place downtown. Tree lighting to go at about 5 o'clock near Fountain Plaza, west of the Kenosha Public Museum. The tree lighting program to take place outside this year. In past years, the program began inside and then people moved outside for the actual lighting. Santa Claus, well, he's expected to make an appearance, and later on we'll be visiting with folks from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Rohde Center for the Arts on 56th Street. The Lighten Up Kenosha celebration downtown to also have special promotions at a number of downtown businesses. Roaming carolers and musicians will add holiday cheer along the streets. And Wisconsin Republican leaders are hoping that Medicaid block grants are in the state's future. A change to how the federal government disperses Medicaid funding to the states would have to be made in Washington. Governor Walker and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss have both made some comments recently that indicate they are optimistic about the possibility of that change. House Speaker Paul Ryan, in fact, a longtime supporter of block grants, and President-elect Donald Trump also indicating they support them. Meanwhile, John Peacock, a research director for the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, says he's more concerned about the possibility of moving to block grants for Medicaid than he is for the repeal or replacement of the Affordable Care Act. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.